Jim, I'll pose kind of the same question to you as you watch how Major League Baseball unfolds this year. I don't think many people thought the Pirates would be a team at the All-Star break that's knocking on the door after that 57-105 season last year. What do you see when you look at this team as far as what's gotten it to where it is today?
No, I think you're exactly right. I mean, I think, you know, if we were being charitable, I think most of us probably picked the Pirates, to finish fifth in the NL Central? Because mm-hmm. I think we all thought the Astros were going to be pretty bad. But, you know, and if you were optimistic, maybe you'd say fourth place. I do think they're playing over their heads somewhat. They kind of have the feel to me that the Padres did last year, where you kept looking at the Padres, even in August, and saying, how are these guys where they are? And, you know, and then the Padres kind of faded at the end, and the Giants snuck by them and wound up winning the World Series. And I kind of think that's what we're looking at again in the NL Central. I think it was Gene who mentioned the Brewers and the Reds. I still think those are the two best teams in the division, and I know the Cardinals are tied for first place right now. But I do think either the Brewers or Reds are probably going to have a strong finishing kick, and I don't necessarily see the Pirates hanging in with them, but you do have to take your hat off. I mean, I guess what this Pirates team has done better than a lot of them, I mean, not only do you have guys like McCutcheon and Hanrahan, who's the lone all-star, and Mahalam and Carstens have pitched very well, but there aren't a lot of obvious holes on this team. You know, the bullpen's real deep. You know, the rotation's fairly solid. You know, outside of, you know, of all people, you know, Pedro Alvarez probably having the most disappointing season in the lineup, you know, and has been hurt too. But, I mean, there's not like there's a gaping hole in the lineup where you're like, geez, that guy's an easy out. I mean, it's a pretty solid team across the board.
Jim, I got a question. If they can add a bat, and some people have talked about how, well, if Pedro Alvarez comes back, if, you know, when Jose Tabata comes back, when Ryan Domet comes back, they're going to add bats. If they actually go out in a few weeks' time, if they're a game or two back and they actually make a move and they add somebody to the lineup, given the pitching that's been very consistent, it's not unrealistic to think that this team isn't in the thick of it and can contend with St. Louis and Cincinnati and Milwaukee, who, you know, are expected to be there.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think the key for them is going to be, you know, a couple things. One, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, getting Alvarez and Tabata and Domet back and having those guys perform like they can, I think that's more realistic than going out and getting them back. The one problem with their farm system, if you're looking to make a trade, is you have some guys who there's no way you want to trade. You know, you're not trading a Jameson Taillon, and I just don't know if they have that. I don't know if they have a centerpiece guy to go out and get a big bat that they're going to be willing to give up. You know, I think anybody who would get them that kind of player is going to be a guy they don't want to give up. But, you know, if they get those guys back, I think they can contend. Again, I think the key is going to be that you keep, and this is obviously out of their control to a large degree, except when they play head-to-head, is that if the Brewers and Reds ever really get going and rip off a streak where, you know, they win 20 out of 25 games, you know, then I think the Pirates, you know, that's probably the biggest factor that could hurt the Pirates, because I do think those teams are capable of getting hot for a, you know, a three-week period and then kind of opening up some distance.
We're speaking with Jim Callis, the executive editor of Baseball America, here on the Roundtable. Jim, Neil Huntington has said on this radio station it's a no-brainer to try to add to this team at the deadline. I mean, if the Pirates don't do that, is it kind of a disservice that Huntington and the front office is doing to the fans here by not making a go for it right now?
Well, I mean, I think they're going to try, but I mean, at the same time, you know, even though they're contending, if I'm the Pirates, you know, maybe Neil Huntington would disagree with me. I'm not trading Jameson Taillon for anybody. I'm not trading Tony Sanchez. I'm not trading Stetson Allen. I'm not trading Starling Marte. I mean, the problem is, I just don't think there's going to be a big bat on. I mean, who's the big bat on the market anyway that you're going to be able to get? You could go out and try to do things, and fans may ultimately be disappointed in who they bring in, or it's not a big name. But I just don't think there's a big name out there. And, you know, even if there was, I mean, you know, probably the two biggest free agent bats we know are coming down the pike are Pujols and Fielder, and those teams, you know, are in contention. They're not trading their players, especially to the Pirates. But, you know, I just don't know who that big-time bat who's on the market would be that would be out there to go get. I'm sure they'll try to do something. But, again, I think it's going to be more, you know, hoping for the return of guys who are injured. And, you know, not that it's worked out, but, you know, you're trying to, you know, you may be better than a Brandon Wood, but, you know, it's more that kind of, complementary bat. I don't think you're going to get a middle of the order bat or a bat that's going to carry the team. I just don't think there's going to be one on the trade market to begin with.
Jim, it's Gene Collier. I'm a big fan of the thing you do in Baseball America, where you I don't know if you guys know this, but Jim does this thing. I guess it's annually, Jim, where you kind of look at the World Series like 5 years away, and you know it's based on the farm systems and what might happen and who will develop at what rate, who will win the World Series, say, in 2015. But because the Cubs are in town this weekend, I was wondering if you know when the Cubs would win the World Series.
You know, I'm based out of Chicago, too, so a lot of people up here ask me that as well. You know, the Cubs are in trouble.
It's a mess.
For about 4 years, it's funny, they've gone to this about 5 years in a row, they've gone to this short-sighted kind of focusing only on the year at hand. You started back in 06 when they'd had a bad season. I think the front office was on the verge of losing their job, and then they won for a couple of years, and it was what can get us to the World Series. And they've just executed a bunch of one-year plans, and now they have, I don't know if it's the highest payroll in the they might have the highest
it's
payroll.
It's like
in the
140
National
or something, and it's hard to it's hard to tell your fans that you're not trying to win the World Series when you're spending $140 million. I mean, nobody's five-year plan is based on a payroll of $140 million.
And it's all heavily backloaded. Right. It's going to be a while. I mean, I do think they have some depth in their farm system, but it's not. They have pretty good depth in their farm system, but they don't have more guys like Starlin Castro coming up, where you're going to say, okay, that's the guy we're going to build around. The bulk of their farm system, it's more depth and star talent. And they still have some terrible contracts with Soriano and Zambrano that they're not going to be able to get rid of for a couple more years. And I don't know when they're going to win the World Series, but I don't think it's going to be this decade.
What about a guy like Carlos Pena and maybe availability with him through a trade? Realistic?
I mean, there you go. I'm sure you could get Carlos Pena, and I don't think Carlos Pena would cost an arm and a leg.
Maybe
either.
A Class B or C prospect, maybe? Something like that?
A mid-level prospect. Okay. At the same time, granted, Lyle Overbay hasn't been tearing it up, so maybe Carlos Pena looks good by comparison. But, I think Carlos Pena, would he be an upgrade on Overbay? Yeah, he would, but I don't think he'd be a major upgrade. But, yeah, you could go get a guy like that. And, and that's probably the type of trade that I was talking about that's realistic. You can give up a mid-level prospect so you're not giving away a huge part of your future, and you can get a minor upgrade.
Would the Cubs eat half of that, Jim?
Tom Ricketts lives the next town over for me. I could drive over there and ask him.
If you would, get back to us.
They might eat part of it. I mean, I think that's what makes these trades so goofy. I mean,
sure.
That's the extra factor in the trade. The more they eat, the better players they'd want. And, in their mind, they'd probably eat more depending on the player they got back in return.
Talking with Jim Callis, executive editor of Baseball America. Jim, in the second half, as we look at the division races, and we're concentrating on the NL Central, with the Pirates, what indicator for this team, for the Pirates, will you look at right away and say, hey, in looking at the first 2 weeks, and they've got a tough schedule coming out of the All-Star break. I mean, they had to play Houston again, but they have Cincinnati, they have the Braves, they have the Phillies, Braves and Phillies on the road. I think they've got St. Louis in between after Cincinnati. What indicators would you look for to say, hey, this team's going to hang in there, they're going to hang in into August and September, and which ones would you say, hey, that's going to be a problem? We can see it starting to unravel right now.
Well, I think the obvious one is, they're going to have to, hold their own against those teams, because if you get swept by the Reds or the Brewers or then you're losing three games real quick. But I think just from a team standpoint, I think – and maybe it's, I don't know how unsung it's been. Maybe you guys have been singing their praises. But, I really think one of the big keys to the team has been the bullpen. They've just gotten excellent production out of their four main relievers in Hanrahan, McCutcheon, Veras, and Resop. It just seems game after game after game. And if you see the bullpen start to falter a little bit, that would concern me. Because I just think it's kept them in just so many games and enabled them to, 45 and 42. You guys know better than me, but when's the last time they were over 500 this late in the season?